Welcome to Homemaker Chic Podcast. I'm going to go super old school right now and remind you that we are here to rescue the art of homemaking. No denim jumpers, lots of red lipstick. I'm rocking the orange today. Shay's got on some beautiful pink. Yep. Jen's got on a beautiful neutral. I'm so pleased to announce that we have one of our favorite guests with us today, but I'm going to save that. Save a little secret for you. We're so glad
you're
here.
You already said her name.
Did I? I did. Oh
you
my gosh.
Said her name.
Tell us what a dork.
Not my last name. There's many of us.
Oh my goodness.
It's Jennifer. Guess which one?
Guess which one of the Daily Connoisseur. And today we have an episode that I'm really keen to dive into. We are going to talk about the lasting touch of rediscovering handwritten correspondence. So I know immediately some of you are like, oh, I wish I was better at that. And you're feeling a little cringy and like, just set that aside, shelve it, because Jen is here to inspire us. And we're going to have some really beautiful conversation on why, as a homemaker, you might want to revive this art form in your own home, or continue it, or pass it on to your daughters, or maybe the women in your Bible study. I'm really, really excited about this conversation. Mm-hmm. Welcome. Welcome, Jen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thank you. I love
We're
being
so
here.
We're so glad to have you back. You're continuing your reign of the most invited guest.
Right.
Homemaker
Honorary.
I'm so honored.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. I feel like, Angela, you even introducing today's topic, I feel like already some people are like, yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
Come on. I'm busy.
It's just like
I got stuff to do.
Stay with us.
Stay with us. Don't leave. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to expand on it. We're going to have fun with it. And I think more importantly, we're going to slow our brains down. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we listened to your comments on the first few episodes. You feel like we went a little too fast for you. So we're going to slow things down today. And we're just going to spend some time together. Spend some time together in some beautiful space, right? We're going to create a beautiful space. And isn't that what we're kind of doing when we take the time to actually write correspondence?
Right. And it all goes, I mean, that's what we're doing as homemakers. We're trying to slow down and be better in our space. So, you know, correspondence is so, at this point in the timeline, it's so precious. We live in a digital world, and there is going to be a stronghold of us that want to go down kicking and screaming that we will still hold something in our hand to communicate. And I don't mean a mouse.
Isn't that the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we've got quite the list. And in doing research for today's topic, Jen, I know you've been actually writing about this exact topic specifically. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait to hear what you've been touching on. But it was pretty amazing in just doing the research that Angela and I did, how much is involved neurologically with what actually goes on when you say, all right, take a tea. And think about one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about this thing right now.
You mean not all the windows I have open on my screen while we're doing this right now?
Well, and most people listening to this podcast are probably doing it while they're mopping the floor or washing dishes. There's certainly a time for multitasking when we don't have to use our brains as much.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm weeding the garden, I really enjoy doing it in the quiet. I also really enjoy, you know, catching up on my history podcast or whatever it is, when I don't have to think too much and my brain can put its effort somewhere else. There is no way you can do that and write a thoughtful letter.
Right. At most,
there's no
classical or instrumental music, or maybe a foreign language music at most. But it's something that can't be done. There's no multitasking for correspondence.
I have so many thoughts on this.
Well, that's why you're here.
All right. Well, before we deep dive, let's say thank you to today's sponsor, Branch Basics. Look, maybe you're listening to the podcast while you're cleaning. And if you are, we encourage you to give Branch Basics a try. We've been sharing Branch Basics with you now for a few seasons. We want you to visit links.branchbasics.com homemakerschic.com/homemakerschic. Use that link because you can get 10% off. 15. Is that right?
15.
Okay, even better.
Gens. For those of us who have just got back from Paris and need to clean their house. 15.
There you go. Yeah. Off your starter kit. So remember, with your starter kit, you're going to get your cleaner concentrate and all of your corresponding bottles so that you can mix up non-toxic, no-nonsense cleaner. This stuff works, doesn't it?
Okay, you know. Listen, I did just get back from Paris, and I bought the cutest. Every time I'm there, I'm a sucker for a trench coat. All the Parisians are walking around in their trench coats, and, you know, like to get one when I'm there. So I got this really pretty winter white. It's like drop cloth. It's canvas. It's pretty casual, but then the construct of it is, it's got some structure, so it's nice. But, you know, I'm hustling when I'm there, and I'm sweating. Pardon me. And I came home after just wearing it for a few days with like some nasty ring around the collar around this beautiful winter white coat. And I thought, first of all, gross and way to be disgusting, Ange. And I got out my concentrate and I just like took it and just sort of dabbed it along this stain, let it sit overnight, popped it in the laundry with some of their like white booster. Mm-hmm. Perfectly clean. Just spotless. Yeah. I was a little worried. Yeah. I thought maybe I ruined this coat right out of the gate. So.
Your sweat is no match.
It's no match.
For Branch Basics.
That's a big deal.
That's good news.
Perimenopausal sweat. That is a big deal.
So do visit that link, links.branchbasics.com/homemakerschic. Get your cleaner concentrate, get your bottles. It'll come with a little oxygen boost that you can use for a little bit nittier, grittier scrubbing. Think your toilet or your disgusting sink. I don't know why kids can't get the toothpaste down the drain. I don't quite understand the physics of how they spit into the sink.
Or spray it all over the brass. All over the fixture.
I don't know.
But I don't know what they're doing.
I don't know what they're doing here. But I do know that Branch Basics will work. So try it. Don't take our word for it. Try it. Get 15% off. Then send us an email or send us a message over on Instagram and let us know what you think. We're confident that you're going to love it. That's links.branchbasics.com/homemakerschic or just click the clean button over on Instagram.
Perfect.
All right, Jen has a lot of thoughts.
Okay.
We should let her have some of those.
Where do I begin?
I would love to start with the historical aspect of it. I just finished a podcast about the truth behind the man in the iron mask, and it was fascinating. Mm. And multiple times they were referencing historical documents, historical letters. And the hope is that even more letters will surface about this mystery prisoner and how the letters that they have can prove who he is. And just in listening to it and knowing we were going to do this show, and there's so many other historical, you know, letters that are important, or Napoleon and Josephine's or whatever. But in just thinking about the show, I just thought, how much do we, even historians today, rely on the correspondence from times gone by, and how special are letters to estates or to the church? Or, I mean, I think we've just completely lost the significance of even saving them. I have all the letters my grandma has written me, you know, when I was a child. There's something so just amazing about just the documentation even that happens when you write a letter.
Oh, yeah. I'm obsessed with historical letters. I have so many different books from different authors in particular. That's like a compilation of all the letters they wrote, like Henry James.
Ooh, that would be good.
Like something crazy. I have like 1,000 of his letters. And he wrote to Robert Louis Stevenson. Yeah. He wrote to everybody. And it's juicy. I have him. I have Emily Dickinson's letters. I have so many. You can buy them. I mean, just whoever you're interested in history, there's probably a book of their letters published. And it is fascinating reading. So I'm obsessed with
you're writing for, you have a column with Victoria Magazine. And I was a Victoria Magazine girl in high school. hardcore. That's where I even found my wedding dress. I yanked it out of a Victoria magazine, and by the time I got married, I learned it was a discontinued Christian Dior, and I had it made for me. But in high school, I got a Victoria magazine book. You know, they publish books, and it's all love letters. Mm-hmm. And you would, like, open the envelope, and you can, like, take out the letter and put it back in. Oh, my goodness.
How special. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Victoria's still growing strong. They just published The Art of Correspondence, too. It just came out. It's a good book. Just very inspiring.
There you go.
But... yeah, and I have an upcoming column in Victoria, not this May-June column, but the July-August is all about the art of correspondence and writing letters, and so this is really timely. Mm-hmm.
But I have to ask you guys, when I got in trouble in high school...
It was because you had written something down?
My mom would write me letters.
Oh, your mom.
Well, I also that. Okay. If you write it down, just remember, somebody could read it. Made that mistake a time or
That's
two.
That always happened to me.
Whoopsie. And by the way, I remember thinking, how does my mom always know what's going on? And then I realized, oh, moms, good moms, they find your yearbook and they open your yearbook and they read all that correspondence that people wrote you and all those stories that they share. But in my family, if you have a problem with somebody or if you've had a fight with somebody or you're really trying to get a thoughtful point across without totally losing your cool, we would write letters. And so sometimes it's not right. Even historically, they're not all good.
Right.
They're not all like, oh, mm-hmm.
Those are the juicy ones.
I'm pretty sure.
Those are the ones you want to read.
I think I burned the ones from my mom. Let's not remember that any of this ever happened. I'd be curious Victoria Magazine's take on this and yours too. Letter writing is now seen as something that's unnecessary, that's old-fashioned, sort of archaic in a, this is going to take a lot of time, right? Mm. I can type a lot faster than I can handwrite something. Like ultimately it's just fading away.
Yeah, it's more of a novelty.
Do you see
a
that?
Hobby.
Mm-hmm. It's more of a novelty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's seeing a huge resurgence right now. And, you know, people are going back to the old way with a lot of things, like they're listening to vinyl records. True. They're, you know, we're tired. I mean, there's nothing like, and we know this, there's nothing like a good text chain amongst girlfriends. Like that's very satisfactory to just get it out. But it's also, it like once you start writing letters to people, it is thrilling. It's the slow burn of it, of writing the letter. There's the whole, everything from composing it is like an art itself. Even if you're just writing on lined paper, like you did in high school, there's still something to it. You know what I mean? How you choose the paper you choose, the envelope, the stamp, the pen, if you choose to do anything else to it or include anything in it, then you send it off and then you wait and you might get something back. And it's that thrill of checking the mail and getting a letter from a friend, like is that there's nothing better than that. It's so exciting. And it's a novelty, especially because we're just used to text and email and super fast communication. So I think people are really rediscovering this. There's so many like, you know, just people discovering the art of the pen pal, basically.
So when you sit down though, because we are so acclimated amongst our girlfriends, let's say, you just shoot him a text. I don't text Angela, oh, good morning. I hope things are well with you. Here's how things are here.
It's like, more like,
I'll just shoot it and be like, what time are we recording?
Right.
Right.
Right. There's no
warm-up. But you can't write a letter like that.
Right. You can't.
No. And no. And I write to people who I do regularly text as well. And that's the funny thing. It's like when you write, it's different content, you know.
Okay. So when you do that, I'm curious, are you sticking to a particular subject matter? Are you picking up where a text left off? Is it a hobby you're corresponding about? Like if it's somebody that you're interacting with anyways, how do you sort of segregate or are you segregating the topic for the handwritten correspondence?
So it just depends. I mean, I write to several people and it's different for every single one of them. Some of them I don't talk to. It's only letters, you know, and that's our purely our relationship. Some of them, like, we follow each other on social media, or some of them are like, it's like my best friend from fourth grade, you know, like we text each other several times a week, but then also write, you know, just send a random card or something. So it just depends on the relationship with the person. But usually I, you know, try to tell a story that they don't know about, or reflect on something that we haven't discussed, or make them something. You know, I sent Shay a bookmark. I need to send one to you, Angela. I make bookmarks. And I need your address. And, you know, just send them something in the mail that will surprise them, you know. But it's just, it's different. And that's the nice thing. It's just, it depends on the relationship with the person. What you do with it. And that's what's fun about it.
Okay. And how often in our everyday life with people do we forget to share those things?
Right.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll save a story. Like, I'll be like, oh, you know what? I don't want to text. I'm going to write this one down. This one's better written down rather than a text, which is not that special, you know?
Yeah.
Why do you think it's better psychologically to receive a handwritten letter? What is that?
Yeah, it's like a gift. I think that's what Victoria writes. There's a famous quote about this too, that receiving a letter is a gift. It's a gift because it takes time to write the letter. And like I said, there's so much choice that goes into the letter. The person was thinking about you for a long period of time. It takes me forever. It doesn't take me forever to write a letter, but my handwriting isn't good. I have to really like bolt my door. Right. No one can come in. I have to listen to classical music. I need to, it's a production. And so that the person feels special. I mean, you were thinking about them. It's like better than something you could buy, I think, because it's from your heart. You're writing it out. It's like, you can't reproduce it. I think it's so meaningful.
I think.
So, yeah, I think that's,
you know,
why.
If you consider sometimes the burden of the text message, you open your phone in the morning and there's five you need to respond to. How often do you get a text message and think, oh, like, that's one more thing to do, you know? But when you receive a letter, it is a gift. It, nobody ever gets a letter in the mail and goes,
yeah, it is.
You know? Yeah.
Oh, great. You know, yeah. One more thing to look at.
My friend Audrey will, she does what she calls declaring text bankruptcy, which means she'll just like select them all and just mark all as read. And it's like, if you didn't make the cut, sorry, I just, it actually becomes,
I'm afraid
it becomes this burden.
Yeah.
The speed at which we can communicate actually becomes a severe burden.
It does. Cause I feel, if someone that I care, everyone in my phone I care about, and if they text me a question, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to get back to them, but I don't want to do it immediately. But then I feel like if I don't, I'll never get to it. So it's this weird, awful tug.
It's super true. You know, they get buried and then you're late to respond. I just had a situation with my cousin where I reached out to her because I wanted to wish one of her children a belated happy birthday. And then it got pushed down. And like 4 days went by. So now it's super belated and I just look like a jerk. It's just terrible, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Half of my text messages start with, I'm sorry for being a jerk. Sorry for the delayed response. Yeah. I know you texted me 3 weeks ago. But I think you're right. And that really hits the nail on the head. If somebody sends you a letter, you were only thinking about that person and what you wanted to share with them for, what, 20, 25 minutes?
And they feel that.
Yeah. That is really special. Let's talk pragmatics for a sec. I'm going to show you guys something. So if you're watching the video form of the podcast, this is my letter writing kit. It's a tub from Hobby Lobby.
Oh, I love that.
Aren't you special?
Nice.
$4 tub from Hobby Lobby. I am special, Angela.
Apparently. I don't remember the last time I got a letter from you, by the way.
For your birthday last year. Hello.
She remembers. I write her back. She's like, I can't read this crap. My handwriting is cool.
But this has, so it has like collections of stickers. It has different envelopes. Some are little vintage postcards. We have a wonderful little paper store downtown called Pickle Papers. Ooh. The lady who owns it, her name is Peggy Pickle. Have you ever? And she owns a stationery store.
That's her real name? Wow. That is perfect. That's perfect.
Anyway, it's so nice. Pickle Papers, and she sells all kinds of really wonderful stationery and thoughtful cards. Each time I'm downtown, I will go in and I will just grab a card or two. Just to kind of, I don't know what I need them for, but I just keep a stash here always of some pretty cards that I, so I have the card, I have the equipment already on hand, which I think is a big part of it.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I love that. I have that too. I have about four boxes and one of them has like stamps and stickers and one of them has stationery and pens and I've got all sorts of washi tape. Like I've got everything, but it to be prepared is good because if you, I don't want to say it's a pain, but you do have to drag yourself to the box and be like, okay, once you're in it, you're in it. Yeah, but it's nice and handy if it's all in one place. And I dream about having an antique writing desk one day that I could keep it all in. I have one, but I gave it to my daughter. So I need one for myself. But it's so happy. It's good to be supplied.
You know, I'm glad you said that.
We talk about the
desk, because I think so many of us, our lives aren't even set up to like have a place to do it. Yeah. You know, there's a big computer on our desk or there's technology or the laptops on the kitchen counter. There's no such, you know, who has a favorite pen? I'm really crazy about a favorite pen. I have favorite pens, but lots, you know, there's, you have to have the tools.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you have to remember when you go, when you go through Costco and they say, do you want any stamps today? Say yes. So you have some in the top drawer when you want to send your missive, you know?
And then you know you're really getting into it when you go to USPS. And
Listen. Thank you letters get thank you stamps. Christmas cards get Christmas stamps. Like springtime gets flowers. Absolutely.
I'm always looking for interesting stamps. And also I want people to not feel intimidated. Like you could have the monogram stationery, which I definitely have. But you can also, I have pen pals that write to me on like ripped lined paper. And like slap a sticker on it. And I mean, it's like wild writing. Do you know what I mean? Those are actually the best letters to read. So I'm like, wow, this was like really like written, you know, rapidly with passion. So it's like, I don't get a letter and judge like, oh my gosh, this wasn't woven, like a special stationery. But when I do receive, And then when I do receive it on a special stationery, I appreciate that too. I appreciate everything. I'm not, and nobody is going to open your letter and be like, oh, this paper is not, you know, whatever. So it's like, even if you only have a ruled notebook, that's fine.
And look, we talk about creative expression all the time here on the podcast, the way we decorate our houses, the way we wear our makeup, the way we do our hair, our jewelry, our clothes, our cooking, whatever. This is just one more extension of that. Like that should be an exciting prospect for people. Yes. You get to go make a little beautiful package and send it to somebody who you love.
Yeah. And I want to say that Etsy is a wonderful resource for this. You can find, I get so much of my stationery on Etsy because you can find artists like all around the world. This guy I buy from in the Netherlands does these really whimsical postcards of like fish riding a bicycle with like a cat on his head or something. And I just love them, you know, so I'm constantly buying stationery on Etsy. And so if you don't have the Pickle stationery store, a local one like that, you can find them online. And I drop a lot of money on Etsy. Buying stationery.
We all have our pleasure.
If someone has never considered this, you know, they're just a modern girl, and even just this 20 minutes is intriguing. What do you think baby steps might be? Because, you know, without the guilt, I should have been doing this a long time ago. What do you think a baby step into this world of handwritten correspondence would be?
That's such a good question. And people ask this all the time. And it's funny because I used to write to people all the time. Like in the 90s, I found a box at in my childhood bedroom of letters that I got from friends, from boys, I have all of it there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we used to write to each other all the way up to when I was in college. I don't remember any of this, but I'd open up the letter and I thought, oh, I forgot about him, or I forgot about, you know, her. So it, for me, I went a long time without writing letters. And then I got a pen pal, and then I started writing letters to my pen pal. And that opened up a floodgate for me, because it was like, it all came back to me, like how enjoyable it was. So I always tell people, you don't have to find a pen pal, like a stranger right away. That might be a little strange or too much for you, but write a letter to someone in your life that you already know, like your friend from high school, your friend from college, your neighbor, or like even a mom friend from school. Just don't tell them you're doing it. Just surprise them with a letter, and they're probably going to write back to you. Like most people will write back to you. And, or, you know, even a family member, like a cousin or an aunt or an uncle or something like that. There's someone in your life that you can write to, and you might strike up a regular correspondence, and it's really lovely. And then you can go deeper. You could find a pen pal, and write to your pen pal and just have a purely letters relationship. And that's really great too.
How does one find a pen pal in today's day and age?
I have an idea.
Well, it's tricky.
Go to this Instagram post, comment, and then start DMing each other. And maybe you could create a pen pal with a fellow Homemaker Chic listener. So go to the two posts. We always post a video and a red square for this episode, and just say, I'd like a pen pal. DM me. And then someone might DM you, and you could have a fellow homemaker pen pal. And BTW, June 1st is National Pen Pal Day. So get on it.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. And listen, when you get a pen pal, or when you find your friend or your friend from high school, ladies, you're going to need something for you youngins. This is called an address book.
Oh my gosh, I have mine. It's just falling apart and decrepit. It's from when I first got married. It's like from the dollar store. It was probably the 50-cent store back then. It's so precious though. It's just everybody. It's everybody that was on the wedding list. And yes.
It's important. Mm-hmm. You have to keep track of your addresses. Nice. Because again, like having the right supplies so that when the spirit moves and you're like, now's the moment. It's really sad. Yeah. And good intentions, they don't really mean things. Like no one knows. Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought about writing them a letter one time. Right. Oh, you did? Yeah. Oh yeah, I did, but I didn't have a stamp. So I carried it around in my purse for 6 months, and then it got covered with gum, and then I had to throw it away.
Isn't that
like
true?
They don't know that story. My photography mentor says all the time, you're only as good as what you show. Because no one who sees your photographs cares about the backstory. Oh, I had to get up at 3:30 a.m. and da da da. He's like, I don't care. I'm not going to know that.
No one cares.
And I think that's important to remember. Like the feelings that we have about letter writing, are important, but those aren't transferred to somebody in the form of pleasure in receiving that. If we just keep it all in, it does nothing.
It's so true. Yeah, you got to write it. And like once you start writing it, just start writing the first one, send it, maybe write another one, send out five, and someone's going to write back to you. It's so exciting. So exciting.
Maybe take them off the hook. I love a self-addressed stamped envelope in there. Like, here, I'm going to make this easy on you for your first time.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. So, Jennifer, you introduced us to Brian Kozlowski years ago. We've had Brian on the podcast a few times.
Yes.
Brian and my daughter, Georgia, are still pen pals.
Still.
And he is
so sweet.
The best pen pal. I mean, he's the best. I don't know how he does it.
He's good. He writes good letters.
And he always like writes little Harry Potter references, and he'll put little stickers, and he'll decorate the envelope. I mean,
that's sweet.
He's the best. Everybody in the family looks forward to when his letters arrive.
That's wonderful.
That's so sweet.
Yeah,
it's good for kids to have.
Let's talk about, again, when we were doing research for today's episode, I was really surprised at, okay, so when you're like, okay, what are the benefits, da, 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 and if you read articles, they say, oh, it's great for your, you know, it's great for your brain, whatever, it's great for your neurological systems. Like, why? I'm like, why, though? What does it actually do? Mm-hmm.
And turns out the process, like the physical process of writing versus typing, completely different. Isn't that weird? Because you're just forming words.
Yes. But I get that. Yeah, because I type really fast and I write really slow. And if I write fast, you can't read it. So I have to really slow down. And one tip that I tell people is to compose the letter on your, if you struggle with that, on your computer first. Like write it out, type it out. And then when you're writing it, you don't have to be frustrated. Like if I just wrote the letter without composing it first, I would be, I'm so focused on making my writing legible that
thank you for saying that.
That I'm like, what was I saying? Seriously. No, my writing's messier than yours. I guarantee it. Like it's bad. So I really have to write slow and then I forget my train of thought or it just, so I always compose it on the computer first and then I write it out by hand.
And then do you find that it fleshes out a little bit once you're handwriting? Like when?
Oh yeah. My handwriting is much better. But I mean, even the content. Because I'm only, I just focus.
Do you memory recall? Oh,
yeah.
You recall?
Yeah. Because it's well composed.
Okay.
Yes. Absolutely. And then also the benefit to that is you remember what you told them. You remember if you wrote them, because once you start writing to multiple people, you might, did I write them back? And there's no way to know. You can't remember. Or you think, did I tell them this? I don't want to repeat myself in this letter and sound crazy. You know what I mean? So you just see if you, you know, wrote this to them already. It's nice to have a record of what you wrote them. So I really recommend that.
There's oftentimes when I'm typing, you know, I do like journal entries on our newsletter or something, and I will say to myself out loud, slow down. I'm just going feverishly and then delete, delete. No, that's not the word I meant. Delete, delete. I mean, I work like a psychopath. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, stop doing that.
I do too. Do you type your journals?
I do type my journals.
Do you, you do? Okay. I handwrite my journal. No one will be able to read it. I'm always like, oh my gosh, what if someone reads this? They won't be able to understand they get it, if they get their hands on it.
Bury some treasure and really send them for a, a big, big long trail for you. All right, I want to talk to you about some of the cognitive things that I discovered. But before we do that, let's take a quick break and thank the sponsors of Homemaker Chic Podcast. Angela, I've gone first the last 2 weeks. You want to go first this week?
Here's what I want to know. I want to know if it's time to give your beds a refresh this spring. So refresh your hobbies, start writing some letters, refresh your bed. Maybe you need a little lap desk in your bed. Maybe that's where you want to write your letters with a candle.
Remember the squishy ones with the squishy bottoms and the hard tops?
And guess what? When you order American Blossom Linen sheets, you can add a candle to your order and they send you free tea. So you've got everything. You can have new sheets, a lit candle, you can write a letter, you can sip your tea. Shay and I, we have our beds draped in American Blossom linens because they are crisp, percale-like sheets made for five-star hotels for 125 years. They get softer with every washing. They're comfortable and cozy each time, just a little bit more. Completely made in the United States from the spinning to the weaving. And you get that gorgeous box with the tea and maybe even the candle if you add that to your order. These sheets will make you happy. They have a 2-year happiness guarantee. And I don't know about you, but I cannot stand tugging on the fitted sheets. So they're very generously fit. And if you have a king or queen size bed, they're going to send you 4 pillowcases instead of 2. So we want to invite you to try our favorite sheets. Visit AmericanBlossomLinens.com. Use the code SPRINGCHIC20, SPRINGCHIC20 for 20% off. Get your tea, beautiful wrapped box, extra pillowcase, 5-star quality hotel sheets, AmericanBlossomLinens.com, or simply visit our podcast Instagram page and click the sheets button.
Okay, so speaking of being in bed, I was in bed last night.
Were you?
And I actually was. My bed is dressed in American Blossom sheets. And my hands have been so dry from all the gardening that I was I've been doing lately. So I was putting myself to bed. I put my pajamas on. I washed my face with the charcoal bar from Tubes & Co. And then I slathered my hands in tallow balm and the vanilla body oil, which smells so good. You can even see little bits of vanilla in it. It's so yummy. But so I'm slathering my hands and my elbows, and then I sit down to read my book, and I realize I've slathered on so much that I'm like, oh, I can't touch the pages. So I'm like trying to hold it with my forearms. But it's such a luxurious treatment for your skin. So of course, I'm talking about Tubes & Co. natural skincare. You can visit tubesandco.com and use the code HMC10 for 10% off. Emily started this family-run company because she wanted to make skincare products that were real, clean, simple, wholesome, with ingredients that you can pronounce. And she's done such an exceptional job. If you were to walk into my bathroom right now, you would see it everywhere. All of the things, the reparative serums, the soap bars, the dry shampoos, the lipstick, the makeup, the foundations. She has it all. They're all made in the USA, and all the ingredients are sustainable, fair trade with transparent and ethical sourcing. Of course, we've talked about some of the skincare, things like the French clay soap and the glow serum. But you can also shop Tubes & Co. And again, use that code HMC10 for 10% off their entire makeup line. So foundations, concealers, mineral makeups, blush, bronzers, luminizers, all without any chemicals, artificial fragrances, or preservatives. So you can visit tubesandco.com, use code HMC10. Read those customer reviews, ladies. There, Emily is like, rate it. Let me know what you think. You'll be blown away how helpful people have found these products. And if you think that natural skincare has to come at the cost of results, then definitely give Tubes & Co. a try. Use code HMC10 for 10% off. All right, cognitive benefits. The list goes: enhanced memory retention, which if anybody's learned or tried to learn a foreign language, they always say, write it. Write it.
Yeah.
It's true. You got to write it out.
Yeah, my French teacher has me do these exercises where he wants me to write everything that I know. So if there's a certain grammar, something that I'm struggling with, he's like, you write it down like you're explaining it to someone else because of the connections it makes with the brain.
Yeah, there's something that actually goes from your hand up your neurons into your brain.
Up your neurons. Improved so scientific, Shay.
Thank you. Ching, 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 ching. Magic sends it up to your brain. By the way, this is why I always need science tutors for my kids. Mom, what's a rainbow? Why does it thunder? Magic. Isn't the world magic? Improved learning abilities. According to research, the act of forming letters by hand activates significant areas of the brain involved in thinking, language, memory, and it's way less pronounced when you're typing. Period.
Yeah, I bet.
Which is crazy to me.
Well, we have something where everything's so simplified. You know, we don't, not all of us are pushing our brains. It's sort of like working out. Like, we live a pretty easy life. We're not, you know, pulling water up from a well, you know. So pushing your brain or engaging your brain, it is, I think, this day and age, something we do with intention. You know, you decide to do it. We live in this sort of like instant message, emoji filled time of correspondence. So, Jen, what tips would you have for people that are intrigued by this and want to craft letters that really have a renaissance? You know, they resonate with the recipient, they're meaningful when maybe they're just used to LOL and crying tears and Senorita girl, you know, like,
right, like we text each other. That's a good question. Okay, so I actually have some good thoughts on this because I went to the Victoria and Albert Museum last year, I think it was, and saw the Beatrix Potter exhibit. And her letters were on display that she would write to people, and she included her illustrations in these letters. And it was so special to look at this. So I would recommend to everybody, and again, that's what's so wonderful about this is it's custom. Like, what are you good at? What are you known for? Can you draw? Can you write poetry? Can you press flowers? What do you like to do? And add that to your letter. Like that could be your signature thing, you know? And whoever receives it, I mean, imagine getting a letter. And at the time, I don't even know at the time, like if she, this was like even before she published her books, but imagine getting a letter from Beatrix Potter with like a drawing in it. I mean, the most special thing ever, right? So it's like, don't be afraid to incorporate, like, don't be afraid that you're breaking rules. There are no rules to letter writing. I'm sure there's an etiquette, like for fancy things like for wedding invitations, of course. But like, if you're writing a letter to your friend and you want to include a recipe you just made, or you want to draw something that you're seeing out your window, or write a poem, that's my thing. I like to write people poems and send it to them. There's nothing more special than that. So it's just about having fun with it. Like, it's like life is so serious and boring and just, and like trying to follow these rules. It's like break the rules and just go wild, you know?
Here's a good one for you, Jen. You know what I sent in a letter one time? And I think it was to a friend in Alabama, because she was like, you finally got your farm, right? So this was had kind of been our conversation. So I wrote her a letter and I put a chicken feather in it.
I've had friends
send me letters with seeds, like teeny little packets of seeds, you know, that they wanted to share from their garden. Like their Angela always sends me rosemary. Whenever she sends me a letter, there's always a little sprig of rosemary tucked in. Like these are very small little things. And they're so treasured. One time she sent me a stick, moss-covered stick. Do you remember that,
Angela?
It
was so beautiful. I was like, if anybody in her barren, mountainous desert would appreciate this moss-covered stick, it's Shay.
Yep. I still have it.
Yeah, seriously, things like that are so special. That's like with my flower bookmarks and just trying to find something that, I mean, you're going to smile. The person is going to smile so big when they open up your letter and something unexpected like that happens. Another thing is I like to exchange stickers. I have a lot of stickers. And you might think, oh, can a 43-year-old woman send stickers in the mail?
Who doesn't love a sticker?
You can.
In the 80s, I was the sticker collection queen. I had 1,500 stickers in my sticker album collection. Scratch and sniff and puffy ones. And who doesn't love a sticker?
I need to send you both. I'm going to send you both something. I have a frog and toad sticker.
Oh,
you remember the frog and toad?
Read that book all the time.
Really funny. It's funny. I have two stickers I'm going to send to each of you. I'm not going to tell you what it says.
I bought a sticker book at Pickle Papers, and it's, I thought it was in my thing, but Georgia is constantly stealing it. Constantly, because she's got a lot of pen pals. I mean, this was like grown up. This was like a grown-up sticker book. I mean, I think it was like 500 pages.
You sent me?
Yeah, I'm just like, everyone gets like a dancing Victorian lady or like some, I mean, it has the most outrageous, beautiful
It's got a name. There's
stickers.
A handful of them. They have, right? Are we talking about the same thing?
Biblio?
Yes, that one. I even saw them in France.
I wish I had it here to show. They're really wonderful. Somewhere. We'll try to remember it and stick it in the show notes, you guys, so you can check out what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But there are really wonderful.
My favorite sticker shop on Etsy is Cherry Moon Factory. They've got amazing stickers.
Shout out to Cherry Moon Factory on Etsy. Cool.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's it.
Oh, that's good.
I know.
Again, with the pragmatics, I would love to hear from you, Jen. So oftentimes, I don't have pen pals, but the times that I write letters or I write cards, it's birthdays, I think anniversaries. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't really celebrate anniversaries with
successful marriages.
It tends to be successful marriages. Right? I'm like, oh my gosh, you made it this long?
You did it!
Good job.
You haven't killed each other.
You mean writing a letter to your husband?
I mean, to my friends. Like, I have their anniversary date. So it's their anniversary, I'll remember sending them a card saying, hey, you made it another year, kids. Like, well done. death anniversaries, I think, is another really important one that...
Mm-hmm.
I keep a calendar on my computer where I can just pull it up every week and I can say, oh, it's Nettie's birthday and it's so-and-so's anniversary. And so I sort of know there are times just to write a letter just because, and then there are times that I think it's important to remember to write a letter to say, hey, like,
I'm not forgetting.
Yeah. Mm. For no reason at all.
It's both.
It's the Alice unbirthday thing. It's both. Yeah, both. Both is good. I think I do less. I'm really bad at like the should send the letter, like the birthdays and the, I mean, I've never sent an anniversary letter to anybody.
Maybe now you will.
You know, that I love that. I know, maybe now I will. But now I send letters for no reason, but I will forget the Christmas card or I'll forget.
I never send Christmas cards.
You know.
But do you keep a calendar of those dates? Like, do you track? How do you remember when you want to send things or when you should send things?
Mm-hmm. So, well, because I don't send things according to occasions, I just, like, for example, I just received a letter from one of my pen pals and it's on my nightstand. I'm going to write back. I'm not that organized with it. What I'll do is I will write the document. Everybody has a folder on my computer. And so everyone I write to, so I'm going to compose her letter probably this like Sunday night. I like to do it on Sundays. Compose her letter and put that in my file on the computer and probably write it out then as well and send it. But it's not organized. It's kind of like based on when they write to me. I'll write back relatively quickly, but not too quickly.
I used to have, and I don't know if it was by Victoria or like, what's that artist name? Marjolaine Bastien. She does hand cards from back in the day. I used to have a book of days. When I was first married. And I love that because it's not a calendar. You don't have to swap it out every year. It's just the year and you can put every special event in it. So it sits on your desk. Mm-hmm. Gosh, that has to be
nice.
20 years ago that I had this. But it was called a book of days. And I know that expression is used for multiple things if you Google it. But I did like that because that was everybody's special days, whether they were sad or happy, or then I used that for correspondence.
That's nice. I have a recommendation too to write letters to your children. So my dad passed away last year. I know you both know that, and he had this wonderful ritual of writing to us on special birthdays, and he would write like a 4-page letter to us, like when we were born. Like when we turned 5, when we turned, I have one up until 13, and then I can't find the ones after that. But it is so such a good idea. Like read. So what you do is you have the letter, you read it to your child, like on their birthday, for example, and then you keep it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, because they might lose it. You keep it in a box and you can give it to them when they're older. But I just... my mom just came over the other day and she's like, here you go. And I had been looking for them. It was all the letters he had written me. And I can't read them yet. Like I'm saving them to read them. I just can't do it yet. But I know that when I'm ready to read them again, it's going to be so special.
It's like, I have voicemails from my grandpa and they're so precious. I wish I had them in in some other form besides just being on a phone, because I know they're going to get lost eventually.
Oh.
But it's like getting to.
Yeah.
It's really special.
That's.
And something else to consider is postcards. Postcards. Don't forget the postcards. So like I love sending postcards. Whenever I go to England, I send out postcards like. Without being anywhere special, like from home, because I like those art postcards I buy from the guy in Netherlands. But like, yeah, postcards are great too. The trouble is you never know if it reached them.
That's true.
But it's nice to send
them out. I actually love that idea of doing it from home. We've been meditating and just thinking and really driving our heels into being happy where we are and being where we are in a really thoughtful and fulfilling way. We don't want to waste our life thinking, oh, when I finally get that big trip, then I'm really going to start living. When I get this big promotion, then I'm going to really start living. No. Like what we're talking about is a 32-cent stamp or however much they cost now and $1 worth of supplies. Like, we're talking about a teeny tiny little amount of money of just saying none of that matters. Oh, yeah. But this does.
Yes. And here's how you can commit. buy some postcards either on Etsy or, you know what I just found because I'm getting into watercolor now. You can buy on Amazon watercolor postcards. So they're blank. You paint something on one side and then you write on the other side. And so you create your own postcard. There's no excuse. You got it. And also go get some postcard stamps at the post office. And yes, it's a different, right. You know, it's not as much as a forever stamp. And once you have the supplies, that's like the least pressure way to send something to somebody. I've sent postcards. I sent one to my cousin and he was like, I haven't received a postcard in so long. He was so happy to get it. But yeah, send a postcard. That could be like your entree.
That's
into
a great
this.
Idea. Mm-hmm. Because then it could just be, it could be a song lyric. It could be a Bible verse. It could be a funny story. I saw a hilarious reel today on Instagram. Angela, you posted it. And it was like, put on your outfit, do your hair, get your nails done. Like, you don't need to look like your problems.
I loved it.
I almost died.
That's so great.
What a great quote. You don't have to look like your problems.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
All these funny little things that we want to share with people in a different, lasting, meaningful, thoughtful way.
Oh, that's, like take your little quip that you saw on Instagram or something and don't just share it or save it or whatever. Write it down and send it to someone.
Mm-hmm. It's low pressure, the postcard. You don't really have to write very much. Right? There's not that much space. So a lot of people are like, what do I write? I don't know what to say, you know, so it's a good place to start.
Tell a joke. Keep some good jokes in your back pocket.
Jokes, riddles.
Oh, riddles. That's a fun idea.
And if you do a riddle, they'll probably respond to you. You know what I mean? If they solve it.
That's a good idea. That's a really good idea. This is just getting my juices flowing in all the ways that it always does. Every time you come on this show, Jennifer, you leave me just like sweating with excitement, which is not very chic, but it's my method. So
I think that's what we opened with, the sweat on my my coat.
It's a compliment. Yeah, the sweat.
That's classy.
So classy. So our takeaways from today. June 1st is National Pen Pal Day. Don't wait until then. If you're listening to the show, check us out over on Instagram and visit the reel and the red square that are for this episode and say, hey, I want a pen pal. See if somebody direct messages you. Jen says Etsy is a great place for stationery supplies. And I did love your suggestion of writing it out on your computer first. Just sort of get your thoughts out and then transpose it to paper. Write letters to your children. And when in doubt, start with the postcard. I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And guys, would you please share this with us over on Instagram? Will you take pictures if you have a little station or an address book or some stationery you love? Or if this episode just really resonates and you go out and get a book of stamps, I don't care. But if you would share it with us, we would really love to share how this looks like, right? We're all taking this information, but it's going to look individual and it's going to look specific to you creatively as a writer, and even the things you find beautiful that you want to share with people. So I would really, look, we all have unique and wonderful ideas. So I wouldn't have never thought to put rosemary in a letter until somebody sent me a letter with rosemary in it. So it'd be really fun to share across Instagram what this kind of looks like for different people. Could be fun.
Yeah. And when you do share on Instagram, Shay and I, you know, we're busy gals. Tag the podcast, tag us too, because sometimes that gets our attention a little bit faster so we can share it in a story. We would love that. Jen, how can people, what do you have going on right now? Latest book, latest endeavor. How can people stay in correspondence with you?
Well, you can find me on YouTube always. My channel is called The Daily Connoisseur. On Instagram, I'm at Daily Connoisseur. Or JenniferLScott.com is my website, and you can find me there. I'm currently the writer in residence for Victoria Magazine. So if you read Victoria, you'll see my essays, and I am working on a new book right now too. And I can't announce that yet. But
I love
else
that
is
you're doing essays for a magazine. Like there's something just so
I know.
I love magazines. I love them.
Me too.
I miss them being a part, more of a part of culture.
Everybody loves Victoria Magazine.
Yeah,
too.
It's a very romantic thing to be writer in residence. Yeah, it was a huge honor for me.
I love that. If you guys haven't checked out Victoria Magazine, you're going to love it.
Yeah.
We used to have old stacks of them in the flower shop I worked at. And, you know, we would go do a display. We would have to do window displays for Christmas or Thanksgiving. And we would just go to the Victoria Magazine. All right, what are they doing?
I started reading it when I was 11. So, I mean, it's just crazy that I'm writing for them now. It's so surreal. Yeah.
Look, you guys do check Jennifer out. Your life is going to be better for it. Trust me. So thanks for joining us today. I'm so glad you came back on. And ladies,
thanks
for being here with us. We'll see you back here next Monday. Cheers.